exist that support the ministry of the local church. That is exactly what the Ministry of Servant's Heart Camp is intended to do, is support the ministry of the local church. It does not take the place of it, it supports it. And so the support that is being done through the summer months and then throughout the fall and the winter and then even things like the spring, if you, maybe not technical yesterday, but today it would have been technical, but just the support that that camp gives to send these people back to their home churches to be encouraged and revived is the Ministry of Servant's Heart Camp. And so we're thankful for the support that churches like us can have. And so we're grateful, and that is certainly well worth our investment to help that ministry go on because it benefits our church. And of course, it brings glory to God. And so with that, we're grateful that Servant's Heart Camp, the Fries, and also Ben Reisinger are here with us this evening. Grateful for the work that is being done. So with that, I'm just going to ask my father-in-law, Jim Fry, to come and just share with us what's going on these days and let us better know how to pray, and followed with a challenge from God's Word.
Thank you. Well, thank you. It's good to be here. You know, Faith Bible is still home. We were at Faith Bible the very first Sunday when it was right down here in Reams Fire Hall, and it has been home ever since, even though we are not here at home very often. And the last 10 years, or 6 years, or 10 years, I guess. So I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for allowing us to host a couple pretty major events right here. Yesterday being one of them with the Joyful Heart. And some of you think, what in the world? This craziness going on in this church. But let me tell you, already we have heard a lady from a church that she was saved just, 4 or 5 months ago. Her dad, her husband and son had been praying for her. She finally made a profession of faith. She started coming to church. She must, after being there yesterday, she must have said, can we do this again next week? Apparently she is just soaking up every bit of opportunity that she has, not only for hearing the word of God, but for being with other Christian ladies. You know, there's something about the fellowship that happens with Christian ladies. There was another one too, but I forget what that one is. But anyhow, you know, already we've heard some very positive comments as far as the Joyful Heart Conference yesterday. And special thank you for those of you that had prepared food. Some of you prepared lots and lots of food. For those of you that swept to get all the straw up. And just every aspect, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your support. This church has been a blessing. Thank you for your financial support. And obviously, we could not do it without financial support. But Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We are thankful for your prayer support. We are thankful for your moral support. And you have been a blessing to us. So what I'm planning to do tonight, I'm planning to show our new video, just a couple month old, and then I'm going to go beyond that. We were in church this morning. I just showed the video, and then we went into something. But I've prepared a little PowerPoint. I'm going to show a little PowerPoint to give this group just a little bit more insight into what is happening at camp and some of the things with the lodge and some of the things that we're planning. And then I plan to preach. Now, the good news, after all doing all that, I forgot my notes for preaching. But I had them this morning. But I'm just going to preach anyhow. It will just probably be a little bit shorter than what it would have been if I had all my notes. But we're going to start with the video, and this will give you a little taste of camp.
Nestled in the gently rolling mountains of central Pennsylvania is a special place where the distractions of the world fade away and God's still small voice can be heard. This is Servant's Heart Camp, where great fun and a strong focus on the preaching of God's Word combine to challenge hearts and change lives for the glory of God. When a camper comes to Servant's Heart Camp, they are going to have fun. A wide variety of outstanding and exciting activities are sure to provide the perfect setting for an exceptional time of unforgettable fun. Whether it's the team games, mealtime events, nighttime activities, or the craziness of water days, campers are sure to have the time of their life. During afternoon free time, campers can experience a variety of diverse and unique events, such as a thrilling ride on the zip line, shooting blamzukas, hitting balls at the batting cage, or a cool dip in the lake. Between all those fun activities, campers can stop by the Bear Den for a refreshing milkshake. While fun is a valuable part of the camping experience, the true desire of camp is to see hearts and lives changed through the power of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and for every camper to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ. Each day, campers will be immersed in the Word of God and be encouraged to grow spiritually in their walk with God. From personal devotions to start the day to cabin devotions at the end of the day, the camp schedule is designed to constantly bring each camper's attention back to God. Practical Christian living is a time for the evangelist to bring a practical message on how to be victorious in the Christian life. Director's Hour is an opportunity to learn biblical truth from a practical object lesson. Scripture Memory Time encourages campers to hide God's Word in their own heart. Counselors will also spend one-on-one time with each camper throughout the week to give them personalized counsel from God's Word to deal with the unique challenges that they face. The highlight of every day at camp is the evening rally, where Christ-honoring music sets the tone for the strong and convicting preaching of God's Word. Campers are given an invitation to respond to the preaching and receive help from a counselor to make spiritual decisions.
So, back before the summer began, I wasn't following God and obeying Him like I should have been. I was actually struggling with the thought of suicide. But praise God, He touched my life through the ministry of this camp. He pulled me out of a really dark and lonely place. And now, like Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over.
I made many life-changing decisions at camp, but in 2012, when I was 16, I surrendered my life to the Lord. Though I grew up as a pastor's daughter, my walk with God didn't become real until that summer. Because of that summer, I am now joyfully serving the Lord with my husband.
When I was 12, I came to camp for the first time and received Christ as my Savior. over my teen years, I came back and made life-changing decisions about my walk with God, and it has transformed my life.
I came to camp this summer struggling. All through the week, I knew God wanted me to get things right, but I was stubborn. My one-on-one time encouraged me to get right with God, and that evening during the rally, I realized I needed to fully surrender my life. That night, God changed me, and I surrendered my life to Christ for His use.
As a teenager, I attended Servant's Heart and later worked as a summer staff member. God used my time there to develop my heart for service to Him, and now I am currently serving as an assistant pastor. I couldn't be more grateful for the impact of Servant's Heart in my life.
While youth camps may be its backbone, Servant's Heart Camp provides other great opportunities for fun, fellowship, and spiritual growth for all ages throughout the year. Events such as family camps, father-son retreats, men's retreats, ladies' retreats, work retreats, and our Young at Heart event are all designed to help Christians, young and old, to draw closer to Christ. With so many opportunities available, why not make plans to come and experience camp for yourself? If you do, you'll understand why we say, to God be the glory, great things He is doing at Servant's Heart Camp.
Half a dozen testimonies on there. I wish I had time to expand upon those testimonies. Many of those testimonies, it sounds good, but if you knew the background of the story, Dalton has been here a couple times. If you you heard Dalton on, that really didn't seem that significant. But if you know Dalton's background, you know Dalton where Dalton is today. He's preaching every other Wednesday night at his church. And he's doing a series, and he looked and he said, man, I'm not going to be able to finish before camp. So apparently he asked if he could preach every Wednesday night. So Dalton is preaching every Wednesday night. And well, he just did not come from a godly Christian background. One of the other ones on there talked about that God, when they were 16 years old, God got a hold of their heart. And what made that one significant is I remember the mother coming to me and saying what a change there was in their daughter when they came home from camp. So I want you to know that a lot of times what you hear us talking about fun, you hear us talking about we have to have this next event, or we build the zip line, or we did all this kind of stuff. Our goal is to impact lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every kid that comes to camp gets right with God, and I wish I could say they did, but there are many that do come and get right with God, and they are transformed by the power of the gospel. Now we're going to go to something just a little bit more practical and let you know what's happening at camp, just some more practical things. And it's a PowerPoint that I think is coming up in a hop, skip, and a jump. Well, I think it is. Okay. We're good. Did that go? Oh, I have to learn how to use it. Hey, do you know that place? I'm not sure if that's I thought there was one before that. But anyhow, I'd like to say thank you once again. The rainbow. Oh. Am I confused? Okay, let's try this again. Oh, yeah, okay. So, once again, thank you for all you've done. We sincerely appreciate your support here at Faith Bible Church. Going to give you a couple updates of what is going on at camp, just a little bit more than what we might normally give, but I'm going to give some updates here. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, but just to show you, the first year of camp 2002, that we had 71 campers, and we continued to grow to 472 until the last year on a rented property. The first year, we got a bunch of them there. The first year on the new property was we dropped to 222. We did not surpass what we had on a rented property. We actually had flushing toilets and showers and that sort of thing when we finally passed it. Then in 2019, we had 865. 2010, COVID would drop to 608. And 2021, we had 984. And it looks like that we will be well beyond that for this year. Just last week, I got a call from a church. And he asked a couple questions, a brand new church from Ohio. He asked a couple questions. He said, okay, we want to send some kids to teen camp and junior camp. I said, that's all the questions you have? Yeah, he said, I checked you out already. So he said, we're not a big church. He said, maybe 10 to 15 for teen camp and 15 to 20 for junior camp. I said, not a big church? I tried not to act surprised, but... So that's exciting. But why are those numbers important? And I could give many stories, but I'm just going to give this one. That's a picture from summer camp 2006. That's when we were just right over here at Liberty Bible Camp. I got an email from a young man. He said, I just felt compelled to write. He said, I have not seen you. I have not been on the camp since 2006. I found him on this picture. He's in the back of this picture. He was a junior counselor. He said, I was a junior counselor, and he said, I probably wasn't your best junior counselor. And he was right, I remember. He was not our best junior counselor. But he said, I just want you to know that every major spiritual decision I remember of making as a teenager was made right here at Servant's Heart Camp. And he said, I want you to know that today I am serving in a ministry in New York that's probably larger than what Servant's Heart Camp is. And that was just so encouraging. And I could tell story after story of that sort of thing, of how God used the preaching of his word to change hearts. Now, many of you have been there. I'll go through this fairly quickly. We now have 10 cabins that look just like that, or just about like that. Some of them have more or less steps on the outside. They look like that on the inside, with the exception of the two handicapped cabins, have one less bunk bed there on the left. We have a bear den now. That's the place where they would go to get their snacks, the milkshake that you saw. This is where they hang out before the evening rally, which we like that because it's a supervised area for them to hang out. Of course, inside they can buy literature or CDs or devotionals or candy or T-shirts or bells or all sorts of things. I have to figure what I'm doing wrong to make it go too, but that's okay. Here is the Lake Glide. You step off at 32 feet and you end up on the other side of the lake. If I had the time, I could tell you three distinct miracles that allowed us to put this in, and it's pretty neat. But anyhow, just recently I've been reflecting on all the miracles that God has done, and I think somehow the next generation has to know some of the miracles, and I can expecting to continue to do them, but there was three specific miracles. We put in the welcome wall. There's the welcome wall. Now, the reason we put this in, there was a steep bank between where you park and up where we will go up for the lodge, and up where, like, the basketball court and where people would sit, the senior saints would sit. We've had two different people that fell going up and down there. And so we realized we needed to do something. For the young people, they would just scurry up and scurry down. It was no problem. But at our senior saints, we realized we needed to do something. So we needed to put some steps in. Well, then we realized, okay, well, we need a place for a flagpole. And then we said, okay, we need a place for the sign. So it got just a little bit bigger. So I called the hardscaper to come and give us a price. And I said, whoa, what in the world? So I talked to Matt. I said, this is a pretty big job, so I know he already takes a couple months off in the summer without getting paid, although we're changing that, hopefully. He ended up putting a wall for seating around the flag. He ended up putting the lights, which I think is on the next picture. He putting on the lights, and, oh, is this a pointer, perhaps? Nope, it's not a pointer. Or maybe I don't know how to use it. Oh, yeah. There's the steps going up and down. That was what the need was. You can see how steep of a bank this was. And so now it steps with the handrail, the flag. There's a seating wall around there. So Matt ended up doing that for us. When the price came back, he had included lights, included the seating wall, and it was about half of what the hardscaper had quoted us. So that was a real blessing. We were given some money for some street lights. That picture is not real great, but there you can see the street lights. There was just construction lights going from the dining tent area up to the guy's cabin and then on up to the RV sites. And so we now have very nice street lights. It just really adds something. Playing field. One of the reasons that we wanted to bring the playing field to this side of the camp property where everything was, it's a long walk from the chapel out to where we play our games. It's a long walk back. There's a couple things. It takes up a lot of time. The other thing is it's a security issue. If we have kids out there and somebody says, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. So do you send them back by themselves? Well, we shouldn't really send them back by themselves. Do you send them back with one counselor? Well, no, we don't want one counselor together with them because that breaks our rules. This will be right close to the cabins. Well, you can see the lake glide in the back there. The guys' cabins are over this way. The girls' cabins are just right over this way. And we have the money put aside for this. Hopefully, we have the money put aside for this. It's leveled. Mr. Ben actually did the final leveling with a bulldozer. With that, we rented a bulldozer. And the topsoil, up there we have like this much topsoil. So we're buying the topsoil. A fellow told us that he would bring it last fall. Then he would say that he'd bring it over the winter. Then supposedly he's going to bring it. So I don't know if he's going to bring it. He did give us the best price that we could get, so we would like to get it from him. But we do have the money set aside to do this, and we would like to get that done as soon as possible. Our staff, of course, Matt and Rochelle and the kids are still there building and grounds, and Rochelle takes care of the bear den, the camp store. And some of you know that guy. Do you know that guy? There's some smiles. We're excited about Ben Reisinger coming on board and serving as the program director. This one we do not have a name for yet. When the Lord allowed the, probably it was a wake-up call when I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, look, if you don't start treating this, we have been going to the urologist, and then he referred us to different oncologists, and the first visit, he said, look, if you don't start treating this, he said, this is not a wimpy cancer. He said, you have 6 months to a year to live. So it wasn't emotional. It was just, okay, I'm listening. We want to start treating it. But it was just very, very positive because I realized, okay, we need to start making some steps for transition. And I don't know that Ben would have been invited to come, but the Lord used that. Can you imagine? What blessings can come from everything. So, with Matt and Rochelle, the crepes taking care of the grounds, and as we look forward to this lodge, Ben taking care of the program, if we get a secretary, we figure that secretary, probably 25 hours a week that I do sitting at the desk could be done by a good secretary. So we are looking to get a good secretary, and she would come in the same terms as what Mr. Ben came. She comes because she loves camp, but she doesn't get paid. Hopefully in the future that will change, and we are making steps. Matt and Rochelle took the last 13 summers off, I think. They take two and a half months a year off at no pay. We've been pushing this cart down the road for a long time, and finally this year the board is going to hear about a suggestion to at least give them a little bit of pay for this summer. So you pray about that. We are looking right now for a secretary that would be excited about coming and serving at camp for, it's hard to tell, 25 hours a week probably, just because she loves to work at camp. August retreat. When I was putting this together, I was just finishing, got off the phone with some people, and I just got excited about it. So you're going to get a little bit extra about this August retreat. At the I Love America retreat, and we'll have a whole bunch of people coming. Brad Cranston, I was on the phone with this guy, and I knew that at the I Love America, that the focus of the retreat was going to be a little bit different, that maybe they wouldn't be exactly guys that we would have in our pulpit to preach, but this was a little bit different. I was on the phone for a while with this guy, and man, I started to get excited. I thought, this guy's an independent, fundamental, separated Baptist. I think I could go to church with this guy. And he started telling me how they are salt and light in the state of Iowa and how they go into the state representatives. And the impact that they have made in the state of Iowa has been, through God's power, has been unbelievable. And all these presenters are going to be virtual presenters. Every session will be virtual. But excited about that. David Gibbs or one of his associates from CLA will be presenting. Oops. Boy. Some of you have heard of David Barton. David Barton will not be with us from Wall Builders, but Tim Barton will be with us sharing. And that should be exciting. If you know anything about him, it'll be an exciting hour of presentation. The Lilly family will be with us, and that's a family, actually, their church, the church that they are out of, has come to camp, sent their teens to camp on a number of occasions, and this little girl right here dresses up and reads some stuff. They do together as a family. I think it'll be really neat. Then there's another presenter, a guy by the name of Tim Brubaker that did his thesis, his final paper for college, on how church individuals should be involved in government. And I'm excited about him being one of the presenters. Do you know that guy? You do know him? Okay. Anyhow, I kind of got carried away with that one retreat, but let's move on. Okay, just a little bit about the Lodge Project. This is really neat. We were eating together after giving a ministry update and preaching at one of our supporting churches, and the one lady says, boy, you just went through prostate surgery, and she said, my dad is struggling with prostate surgery. Would you mind if he would call me? I said, no, absolutely not. You know, I'll talk to him. So he called me. I think it was the very next Monday. He called me, and he's asking me all kinds of questions, and man, till we were finished, I felt like, man, this is a friend. This is a friend in ministry, and he said, boy, he said, I'm semi-retired, but what I do is I do renderings. If you have a blueprint, he said, I will turn it into a picture. He said, would you mind sending me your blueprints? I said, no, I'll send them. So what you are seeing is what he took blueprints that I could hardly make heads or tails out of. And he said, man, your architect was really good. I can see what this thing is supposed to look like. So this is a nighttime picture, a nighttime winter picture of the lodge. And then he thought, well, I ought to have a daytime picture. That's a daytime, summer picture of the lodge. These are all from the same fellow. This is the meeting room. He put up front there this year's theme. You can see this year's theme is Hidden Treasure. This is the dining room, what the dining room will, and there might be some minor changes to these. That's the fireplace room that will look out over the lake. I'm not sure exactly how the sofas will be aligned there. Can't decide if you want to look at the lake or you want to look at the fire. This is the game room. And you know what you say? That's just a game room. I'm excited about this game room. You know, I would love to see churches use this. What is a church about? They're about glorifying God. They're about fellowship one with another. They're about evangelism and discipleship. And I feel like we do all that in this room right here. He doesn't show up. There's some extra couches around here. And actually, I think it's on the next picture. Right There, that's where the chapel is, over there. Man, I can just see bringing a group up there, playing some games, fellowshipping together, discipleship, and I'm excited. I mean, this is kind of a dumb room to be excited about, but I'm kind of excited about this room because I see this room for a church to bring a group up and just have worshiping the Lord, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, maybe invite some people that wouldn't go anywhere else. And I think it's just a neat room. But now, I updated this total about 2 weeks ago, 503,000. That's pretty amazing for a small ministry like us that we have 503,000. Now, when you look at 2.5 million and the way the prices are going, you say, how in the world? Every time I think I know how the Lord is going to provide, that door closes and that's not the way he's going to provide. But this is just pretty amazing that we have that. Now, why do we need it? That shows our meeting room on a Saturday morning when parents come. In fact, this year, last year, we cut it off with juniors at 72. We said we can't possibly handle any more than 72. This year, in 1 week, this year we're cutting it off at 80. And I am not sure how everybody is going to fit in this chapel, but we do need another chapel. That's our dining room. Some of you have not been there, but that's our dining room. It's beautiful. I love eating in that dining room. And even when it's raining a little bit, it's okay. But when the rain starts going horizontal, it's not quite as nice to eat in there. That's a kitchen. A lot of good food comes out of there, but it would be nice to have a different kitchen. That's the game tent. And it's adequate, but it'd be nice to get that out of the elements. The future is bright at Servant's Heart Camp. There's a picture for men's retreat this past year. To God be the glory, great things he is doing. Okay, I'll give time. It's 5 of 7. I'll give time for just a question or two if you have them. If not, we are going to open God's word and with very few notes, just a couple that I scribbled down back here before the service began. Okay, turn with me if you will to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. What are your personal devotions like? Are they meaningful to you? Sometimes I pray, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we look briefly into your word, Father, I'm asking that you would help us to grasp something. Father, that you would help us to take something home to strengthen us, encourage us, help us to be more faithful to you, to have a deeper relationship with you. Father, not because of me, but because of you, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This one was some time back, but all of a sudden, you ever read a verse and you say, what in the world? Has that always been there? Isn't that neat? Can you think of another book? I was just thinking about this the other day, because I read a book and I thought, oh, I know. I read a book and I thought, I would like to read that book again sometime, because that was a very profitable book. But if I read it every day, and I read it over and over again, man, it would get boring. How can this book be so exciting? It's just amazing. But Isaiah 58:11, I read this, and I said, whoa, that's what I want. 58:11, and initially, it was the first phrase that caught my attention. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Do you need God's guidance in your life? Man, do I need God's guidance? I mean, I think, There's camp situations and family situations, just this everything and church situations. I just feel like I need God's guidance. And I read that and I said, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Now, probably the verses that I reflect on probably the most are about God's guidance. 2 Samuel 22:29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my path. I think, okay, Lord, today I need my path illuminated. I need you to show me what I should do. I need you to show that. Thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my... Or Isaiah, or Psalms 25:9. It'll just take a minute to come. My hard drive is a little bit slower without notes. Psalm 25:9 is, the meek shall he guide in judgment, and the meek shall he teach his way. And I say, God, that is a promise. As I am meek before you, you will guide my way. The meek shall he guide in judgment, and the meek shall he teach his way. And so I started researching a little bit about meekness and went back to the first mention of Moses. And it's really, really neat. Here Moses was passing on his power to these 70 people. But there was these two guys that kind of were not under Moses. They kind of did their own thing. And they started doing things for the Lord. And people came to Moses and said, hey, look at these two guys. They didn't come to the tabernacle when they were supposed to. Moses said, it's okay. They're serving the Lord. It doesn't have to come from me. And then the very next verses, it talks about that Miriam. They said, hey, and they started railing on Moses for his wife and all this kind of stuff. And that's when it says, but Moses was meek. How do you respond when people start ragging on you, when people start railing on you? You answer for yourself, I'll answer for myself. But it has really challenged my heart, because if I am meek, the Lord promises that he's going to lead me. So I want to be meek for more reasons than that, but that's a motivation for me to be meek when I otherwise may not be meek. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou wilt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I don't know exactly how he guides you with an eye. A little bit like Genesis 24:27, I being in the way the Lord led me. So the Lord just guides you this way and guides you this way. I need God's guidance. So when I read that, I was just like, here's another verse that I need to add to my scripture memory. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, and I think about that one, and people know that, people here at Faith know, people in Ramey know, that God is my rock, my fortress, my everything. Oh God, don't let me do dumb stuff. Don't let me do dumb stuff. Protect your name from me doing dumb stuff. Another verse that I would go to, thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Proverbs 3:5-6, very familiar one. We won't go any further than that. This was all a conditional promise. Now, we don't have a lot of time to look at this, but look back verse 3. And we won't go the whole thing way through, but wherefore, they say, have we fasted, say they, and see us not. God, don't you see that we're doing all these spiritual things? And we have afflicted our soul, and thou hast taken no knowledge. Behold, on the day of your fast, you find pleasure. In other words, they're saying, well, we're doing all this spiritual stuff, Lord. Don't you see what we're doing? Do you ever find yourself doing stuff without a heart? I want to have a heart to serve God. But anyhow, this is a conditional promise. As I serve God, and I realize this is Old Testament, but I think it applies. We could take the application right into the New Testament. God promises to guide us. But that was a phrase that first caught my attention. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. But then I started reading on, and every phrase seemed to jump out. And satisfy thy soul in the drought. You notice it doesn't say, keep me from the drought. We are still going to have the drought. Drought for us today is significant, but it's not nearly as significant as it was back then. When there was no rain, that was super serious. Now we just go to the grocery store and buy our stuff. But satisfy thy soul in the drought, in the difficult times. He doesn't say, I am going to protect you from difficult times. God says, I am going to give you satisfaction and peace in difficult times. Do you want satisfaction and peace and God's peace? Think of John 16:33. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Our peace doesn't come from the same place that the world gets it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. There's another one too that won't click right on here, right off the bat. But satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones. Now, normally today we don't want to hear anything about fat. We don't want to eat fat. We don't want to be fat. Well, some of us don't want to eat fat. But we don't want to eat fat. We don't want to be fat. But fat back here was a very good thing. Something that was fat would meant they're flourishing. They're flourishing. They're doing very well. And it says, and make fat thy bones. In other words, giving some backbone to everything, giving some strength to everything you do. If I, in my little finite mind, if I wouldn't have any bones with strength, I would be a blob up here with my little head sticking up like that. And sometimes spiritually, that's what I feel like, you know. But he says, I'll make fat thy bones. Let's go on to the next one. We want to spend just a little bit more time in these last two. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. There is a traveling down, there's a garden that's not too far from us, that it is just immaculate. Now, not at this time of the year, but when it's garden, it is just immaculate. And it said, ye shall be like a watered garden. Now, think with me a little bit about a garden. What grows first in a garden? Weeds. I don't like it. Don't like it one little bit. What do you have to do when the weeds start to grow? Pull them, hoe them. Do you ever have weeds that grow in your mind? Oh, I do. I think, oh God, I didn't mean to think that about that person. That was a wicked thought. And I pluck that weed out. And an hour later, I think the same, oh God, I didn't mean to think that about that person, and I plucked that weed out. Is it hard work to hoe a garden? Yes, it is. Is it hard work to keep the garden of your mind clean and pure? He's giving us the ability to become like a water. When I first memorized this, I memorized it wrong, and I keep thinking it's well-watered garden. It's just a watered garden. But ye shall be like a watered garden. Do you want your mind to be like a... If you've done gardening and you see a beautiful garden with beautiful plants without weeds, it's just a beautiful sight to behold. If you see a garden with weeds growing up all over the place, it's just not a beautiful sight to behold. But listen to this. Our mind can be like a watered garden as we keep plucking up those things that need to come out of our mind. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Many, many years ago, Melissa will remember this, I think. We went to Yellowstone. We took the family out west and we went to Yellowstone. We wanted to see a geyser. So where do you think we went to see a geyser? Old Faithful. We went to Old Faithful, and we saw a geyser. And it was pretty neat. I mean, all of a sudden, at the appointed time, this guy, the water comes up and comes down. And we thought, wow, that was really neat. Well, then we started walking around the park. We started walking around the park and seeing all the other sites. All of a sudden, we are not far away, and we see this geyser. I mean, it is incredible. It must be 10 times bigger than Old Faithful. It is higher. Water is gushing everywhere. I mean, this geyser is just incredible. And all of a sudden, people from the Park Service come running. Everybody's coming running to watch this geyser. And then we find out this geyser has not erupted for like 20 years. And so park people say, I've never seen this geyser erupt before. And it was really, really cool. Melissa, were you there? What was the name of that geyser? Wait, whoa. I don't understand. This geyser was big, and it was neat, and it was cool. And you're telling me you don't remember? Which one does she remember? The name of? What is God looking for right here at Faith Bible Church? Some people that are faithful day after day after day after day after day. Some people that are faithful week after week after week. I remember going to a church with a guy, and I mean, I would be jealous. All of a sudden, he would tell these immaculate stories how he found a way to put tracks in the paper towel, that when you pull a paper towel and the track would come lofting down. And he would tell these wonderful stories of how he would share the gospel in some immaculate way. And honestly, I almost became jealous of him. I almost became jealous of him because he would do all these great things for the Lord, and here I was. Now, I'm not lifting myself up above him, but you know what? I don't even know if he goes to a good church today. Some of us want to do great things for the Lord. Look at this verse. And ye shall be like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We're looking for some old faithfuls and some young faithfuls too. But we're looking for somebody that day after day, week after week, would be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the verse. As we are serving God faithfully, he says, he will guide us and make our path clear and give us satisfaction in the drought and make fat thy bones, give us the strength to do these things. And thou shalt be like a water garden, a beautiful water garden. And as we are faithful, we will be like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Pastor?